You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Brother Wolven, I got some bad advice one time.
Oh, somebody tell you to go to Starbucks.
Yes, they did. Yeah. My mind. We've been doing this way too long. They told me to try Starbucks. Oh, it's so good. You'll love it. Oh my goodness. I can't do it. I'm just not that highfalutin. I'm just a regular Joe drinking the regular Joe. How about that? Hey, listen, I've got to read an email for you. I mentioned it in our last podcast, but I got this on December the 28th. I'm so sorry it's late coming in, but it was the holidays. I got this from Benjamin Reimer. He said, just so you know, I did listen to your program on Christmas Day, and I'm expecting my 8x10 autographed glossy print airmailed to me here in Liberia. All kidding aside, I do appreciate the continued encouragement through Tim Talks. And Benjamin and Jackie Reimer are missionaries to Liberia, West Africa. And that is awesome that they're listening over there.
Amen.
Hey, do we still have people in Japan listening, do you know? Remember we had
when
we first started out?
Yes, we do.
Really?
We still have about 10-11% of people listen in Japan. And it's been growing just like it's been growing in the States.
So that's one person because we have 10 people listening. So works out pretty good.
Well, you've got missionaries in Africa that are listening.
Yeah.
And then I want to say hello to Cadence, Aria, and Michael Wolven. Our three grandkids listen all the time on the way to church. And my little grandson he'll be 2 in February. And as soon as the music comes on in the car, he'll go, Tim Talks!
My wife does the same thing and then turns it off. Tim Talks. Hey, kids, we're talking to you while you're in the back seat. That's awesome. Yeah, we've got a lot of kids and teenagers that listen in. I love it. And I just talked to the grade, I think it was 7 and 8, Sunday school teacher in Cleveland. And he said, hey, we listen. And he said, I'd like to maybe get our kids to start listening in our class. So I said, well, that's great. Maybe we can come up and do something with their class sometime. That'd be awesome. But yeah, we appreciate the emails and conversations we get. Thank you so much.
Amen.
We really, really appreciate it.
Amen.
And thank you for sharing with others. That has been such a great help to us, so thank you. So last podcast, we looked at great advice that we've gotten. Today, we're going to talk about some bad advice. And I've gotten some bad advice over the years, sometimes about church, sometimes about other things in life. Let me start off today by saying that I got some bad advice one time on investing in a stock. And I'm not a real risk taker. Most Canadians are not. But I had a guy who said, I've got this thing. It's awesome. Get on it. And so I took a few $1,000 that we had set aside, and I told my wife, we'll try it. You know, some people consider it gambling, whatever. I just said, well, we'll try it. And so we tried it. And if the thing didn't double within a couple of months. And so I took the money, and the guy said, get out. So I got out. And so I said, what do I do now? And he said, well, reinvest it and put it in this. And I put it in something else, and it tanked, and lost just about everything. So, if you're gonna do that stuff, it has to be money that you can afford to lose, which most of us can't. So it was a learning experience. But the good advice I got was, unless you are, you know, gonna sell yourself into research and understanding the stock market, you better stay out of it because most people have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea. So I've gotten to more sure things and now I'm racing I'm betting on racehorses.
that's pretty wicked. For me it's dog fighting.
Yeah, but your Chihuahua never wins. It would have been funny if it was a Great Dane. If you had a Great Dane. Oh, my goodness.
You'd be bigger than me.
That's right. Hey, what's some bad advice you've gotten other than, you know, hanging around me? What's some bad advice?
I got some bad advice. One day, Dr. Thompson came in my office and closed the door and sat down and said, hey, okay, I want to introduce you to this young guy, Al Stone, and I want you to work with him. And, it was a bad day.
Ever since then, that's the best day of your life. That's the best day. Maybe your wedding, the kids being born, but right in there is meeting me and making lifelong friends. Has to be. Great advice. Bad advice. I got to think about that. I got to be honest.
I've got one for you.
Bad advice.
You know, somebody has said advice unasked is seldom heeded and often scorned. And whenever we were in college, now my wife and I, we began dating right at the end of our senior year of high school. We both went to the same college, dated through college, got engaged, got married before our senior year. We both graduated, and thankfully, by the grace of God, it was on time. We both got our degrees, but we were just about engaged. Now, in my mind, I knew, okay, I think this summer I'd like to get engaged. And just before the semester ended, a teacher took upon himself to call my soon-to-be fiancée in his office and tell her it was God's will that we should not be dating. So, that was like a big old, that's a stupid advice. And my wife, she was upset, and, you know, she thought, oh, man, what am I going to do? And I said, how can he know the will of God for us? It's only us that we would know the will of God. So that was bad advice.
Did he maybe have intentions of stealing a young lady away from you?
No, he was a grandfather age guy. Yeah.
Oh, well, then that's just, wow.
It's just, that was bad advice. So.
Yeah. Now this, I guess I gave this advice. It was bad advice. And this is more fun than anything. But when my son was probably 10 years old, we were walking from a London Knights hockey game, a junior hockey game. It was bitter cold. We're walking, and there was a couple of us walking together, and we're walking back to the car, and I said, son, I want you to trust me. Just trust me. I want you to close your eyes and just let me lead you. And he goes, no, Dad, now you'll do something. I said, no, just trust me. You've heard that term before. And so I walked him for a while, and I thought he was peeking. I thought he was looking. And so I walked him right in front of a pole. And I thought for sure he had his eyes open. We could see it. He had his eyes closed tight. He ran right into the right face plant into the pole. To this day, he resents me. I felt so bad.
Why would you even do that?
Well, I thought he was looking. I thought he was looking around. I thought he could see. I thought he was peeking. And next thing I know, the poor kid's picking himself up off the ground. I'm like, oh, son, I am so sorry. He says, Dad. He said, Dad, why did you do that? And I said, I'm sorry. I thought you were looking. He said, you told me to keep my eyes closed.
So the next Bad time advice. You get up and tell the congregation, now, folks, just trust me. Keep your eyes closed, and you're going to walk them into a bowl.
Nate stands up and says, no, don't do it. Don't trust him. Oh, Nate, I'm sorry. I still feel sick about that today. How can I make that up to that kid? I don't know.
Well, I guess this isn't advice, but I remember one, we had a meeting among the staff about an event that was coming up, and Pastor Thompson was not big on staff meetings, but we had discussed this particular thing, And when I was there, it was settled that we were going to do a such and such thing. And then after I left, they wound up changing their mind and saying, no, we won't. And so he was announcing on I think, a Sunday night, we're going to do this, right? It's this date. Isn't that correct? It's this date. And nobody was saying a word. And he said, somebody help me. And I went, yes. And so I went, okay, the voice of authority. And then we didn't do it, you know. And so he was like, oh, the voice of authority, huh? You know, and so it's like, oh, okay.
Hey, I got a bad piece of advice early on in my ministry in Cleveland from your father-in-law, from Brother Harris. Terrible advice. There was a guy at the church there, great guy. I miss him so much, Wally Mosier.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw Mrs. Mosier. Wally Mosier's gone home to be with the Lord. Wally Mosier was a funny guy. He was a prankster. And so they had coffee set up for people in the morning when they came in to do their Sunday school classes and whatever. And it was like my first Sunday or second Sunday. And your father-in-law said, hey,
yeah, it
go
was
in
hidden.
There.
It was hidden
yeah.
because it wasn't out.
Yeah.
It was parking lot
right.
workers and people
right.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he said, hey, I want you to go in there. And when this guy comes in, when Wally Mosier comes in, you tell him that the coffee is now $1 a cup. So Wally didn't really know me. And Mr. Harris only knew me because, you know, I was hanging around you and Denise. And so I said, oh, okay. So I'm looking for a good time for fun. I walk in there, I'm standing there, and Wally comes in and he says, hey, good morning. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, are you Mr. Mosher? He said, yes. I said, hey, I just want you to know that the coffee's a buck a cup now. Oh, my goodness. He said, who are you? Who are you? I said, I'm Al Stone. He goes, get out of here. You pipsqueak, this coffee's free. Mr.
Yeah.
Harris, sir, he was standing in the background laughing his head
the
off.
The Mosiers bought the coffee. They
yes.
bought the coffee pot. They bought
yeah.
the cups. They bought the creamer. They provided everything. And you're trying to tell him that now this has got to be charged.
Oh, man. We laughed about that for a very long time. But he got a little
like,
upset.
A little bit of hazing in the ministry. So.
Oh, he was a little upset with me. And he was upset for, you know, a little while. Did he realize that I was just a kidder? And I was like, yeah. The problem was he got what he usually gave.
Yeah.
And so that was a bit of the problem. But no, we became great, great friends. I love that guy. Oh, I miss him. But yeah, be careful of the advice that church people give you about other church people. That's what I'm trying to say. You better be careful. And here's some advice. Never, preachers, ever make fun of the pastor's wife in any circumstance. Don't ever do that. You'll be in big, big trouble with somebody if you do that. If not her, her kids, or some other lady in the church, don't make fun of the pastor's wife ever.
Well, here's probably the worst advice that I have ever given in my life. We had a hayride scheduled. And we had probably, I don't know, 2-3 buses of kids, 60, 80 kids. We had quite a bit. And so, you know, when we showed up, they said, now the barn is over here and this hot chocolate is over here. And you can go over here and, you know, of course, we're having a cookout and everything else. And so, man, walked in the barn and kids were jumping out of the hayloft. Onto the floor, and as a wooden floor, and there were like bales of hay. Now, I'm the slickest of city slickers, and so I thought, man, somebody's going to jump on top of somebody and hurt someone. So we took some of the bales of hay, broke them up a little bit, and so it was maybe a foot deep, and people are jumping out of the hayloft. I even went up and jumped down, and you know. Whenever you can sort of count to 15 before you hit the ground, that's quite a ways, you know. I hit the ground,
well,
and went, boom, you know. And as I was like, wow, I don't know why in the world people would jump out of the hayloft into the hay like that, man. Well, come to find out, one girl broke her leg. Two people had whiplash. One girl hurt her back. I mean, all kinds of things. On that, because, you know, and I'm at the bottom saying, okay, next one, let's go, jump, you know, because I'm thinking they're going to jump on top of each other Well, I never knew you need about 5 or 6 feet of hay whenever you jump in like that. And I had no idea. And so actually, if they had all jumped at once, fewer people would have gotten hurt had they landed on each other than going one at a time.
Well, you talk about counting to 15 while you're falling. At your height, that's only 3 feet. 3 feet into the pile.
It was easily 10, 12 feet high, you know, and we're jumping down into 6 inches of hay.
You know, you've had issues with falling and jumping into things pretty much your whole life. The doo-doo Dan experience, the hayloft experience.
You've had
all kinds of problems, so don't be doing that. Well, some bad advice. I hope we can give you some good advice, and if we give you bad advice, let us know. We'll try to correct that. But for this Tim Talks, please be careful in the advice that you get and be more careful in the advice that you give. I'm Brother Al Stone from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada.
This is Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio, giving you some bad advice. Do not subscribe. Do not give us a rating, and do not leave a comment.
That's bad advice. Hey, this is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, taking interest in ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM Talks.com.